88.1 FM.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused, and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this night, this appointment with you. We thank you, Lord, for your peace. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the mercy that we are in today. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for just unmerited favor. Lord God, we ask you now that you will look upon each and every one of us. Father God, we've went through this day. Some of us have worked and done some things. And Lord God, we ask that you would just give us a rest in you at this moment. Father, we ask you now, Lord God, that you would supply all that we need. And we thank you, Lord, that you'll do it according to your riches and glory. Father, we ask you right now that you look upon this people, this congregation, and look upon this pastor. Look upon those ministers that are here, Lord God, and those deacons and officers and whoever it is and wherever they come from, Lord God. And we pray that you would add a blessing to their life. Father, let them have a word on today. Let them receive it with gladness. Thank you, Lord. Father, we ask you now, we thank you now for the word of God that sustains us and strengthens us. We thank you, Lord God, for the Holy Ghost who you've given to us to guide us and to give to us what belongs to you. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus, the blood that covers us, that cleanses us, that cures us, and connects us to you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you right now, Lord God, for your holy angels that encamp all about us. We thank you, Lord God, for the songs that have been sung and the music that has been played, the prayers that have been prayed. We thank you, Lord God, that you've given us another opportunity to come to your place of worship. And Lord God, to hear a word from you. Now, God, give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet on which I shall write upon the word of faith, the word of God that will bring healing, deliverance, power, peace, and even prosperity to those that hear and believe. Father, I thank you now that you looked over the celestial banisters of heaven and poured us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. Thank you, Lord. And Father, after you've healed and after you've saved, after you've delivered, after you've blessed the people of God and done all that you want to do, Lord, we'll be careful to give you the honor. We'll be careful to give you the praise for giving me the anointing that makes preaching easy. We'll give you all the glory. And we will join in with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You're holy. You're holy, God. And your glory fills the earth. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We want to talk to you about this from step two, having faith in God and trusting him. I want to talk to you about going in and shut the door. Amen. You know, the one thing I like about this lady, one other thing I like about her is that she didn't just sit back and say, well, look like the man of God ought to see what's wrong with me. Huh? Preachers do, you know, you got people that do that. Look like he talked to the Lord, then the Lord should have told him that I was going through. He passed right by me and didn't say one word. Now, Pastor, no, I've been sick. He ain't called me. I thought you just missed service like you normally do. Amen. Is it all right? Yeah, I thought you just missed service like you normally do. It's sad, you know, when people, when you pass by people and you ain't seen them at church and you know and then they go to hiding from you. It's something, ain't it? You know, we shouldn't have to be invited to visit our own church. He ain't calling and tell me to come to church. Well, you know what time church starts. I shouldn't have to call and invite you to come visit your own church. Hallelujah. I done got off now, huh? Mad with the pastor. He ain't even speak to me. Well, he didn't know who you was. He ain't seen you in so long. You changed your way. All right, go on. Pastor Dimmer said, go on, Reverend. I'm through. All right. Now, this lady, look at this. Elisha said to her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me what you got in the house. And she said, my handmaid only have a pot of oil. All I got is some Crisco. If it was one of our houses when I was growing up, it would have been some lard. Fatback. Used container on the stove. Pour it back in there. Some of the little fish grease in it. She said, that's all I got is the leftover oil. She went to him and look at this. She had an infirmity, but he gave her instructions. You know, the problem now today is that people hate to be instructed. Nobody likes instruction. People think that if you give them instructions, you think that they don't know what to do. Maybe you don't. You know, we're in a generation, you know, especially us, you know, people of color, we don't like to read instructions, no way. We like pictures. You know what? And I'm thankful, because God know we like pictures, because there's some things that that he showed me in visions that once I start reading, I said, God showed me that. So he gave me a picture because he knew I wasn't going to read it to begin with. But pictures, you know, we like pictures. And so he gave her some instructions. We don't like to be instructed in this day. We act like a bunch of technons. Technon is the Greek word for teenagers. We act like a bunch of teenagers. You know how you tell them something, ain't nothing you say right? They know better than you. You know, that's how we are. Sometimes we just seem like all teenagers. And if you tell us something we don't like, we like to run off and get by ourselves. Come on and say amen. We don't like instruction because if we get instructed, then that makes us accountable and we got to do what we've been instructed to do or else we become disobedient. Come on and say amen. We got to get to a place that we love accountability. We got to look, I don't want somebody doing something for me and they ain't accountable. So God doesn't want you doing something for him and you're not going to be accountable when you get instructed. And you know, a son is instructed. Remember in Proverbs, he said this is the word meaning that this is the instruction that was given to him. And we need to be able to receive instructions. Do you know kings receive instructions? If a prince can receive instructions, why shouldn't we receive instructions? We want to do whatever we want to do. Amen. The Bible says without a vision, the people what? Perish. Somebody got to instruct you in the vision. Now the word vision in that text means it means a restriction. Without some kind of restriction, and restriction is also comes from instruction, then the people begin to what? Perish. And so I need some what? Instruction. Now look at what Elisha tells her. He says in verse 3, he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty, and borrow not a few. Yeah. When you come in your house, you go in and shut the door, you and your sons, and begin to pour. Kind of going through a little bit. Because his instructions, look at this. He says for her to go borrow. Now, in order for her to borrow, yes, she had to have a good reputation. Yes, sir. Because, you know, if I know that you ain't gonna pay me, that's why they keep a credit score on you. Because your credit score tells whether or not you pay your bills. Oh, come on and say amen. The Bible says for us not to be slothful in business. I know I'm preaching to you today. But we need to pay our bills. Quit running from the bill collectors. If you know you're not gonna pay them, pay their loans back, quit going and get them. Don't be giving my number as a reference and then they calling me trying to track you down. Come on and say amen here. Well, let me move on here. We gotta get to a place where we receive instruction. He told her to go in and shut the door, but he told her to go and borrow some vessels. Now, in order for people to give us something, she had to be an upstanding citizen. They had to know that she was the right kind of woman. And I believe that she was, because she was the wife of one of the sons of the prophets. That means that she had to live a life that reflected that she was the wife of the sons of the prophets. Now, when we look at the church, come on, let's look at the church. The church is the bride of Christ. And if you say that you represent the church, should not you have a good reputation in the community? Many of us, we read Proverbs 31 and we say, oh, that's me. I'm the virtuous woman. But let me let you in on a bit of a revelation. That is speaking of the church. Preach anyway, because they call her husband blessed, because she go out and she works, she put her hand to the spindle and she produce this and she do that. That's all of that is the church. We're supposed to be doing that, and then they supposed to say God is blessed to have such a body of believers, a church to serve him the way that they do. But we don't serve like we should. We misrepresent him, and he's our husband. Preach anyway. We misrepresent his name, and we're Christian. We wear the name, and we do anything, say anything, act any kind of way out in public. Come on and say, man, look, we got to be honest with ourselves that you know, when you come to church, you're actually the person you want to be. You're not the person that you really are. You come in here and you don't cuss. Preach. Maybe some of y'all do. I don't know. But you come in here, you don't lie. You don't act a fool. You don't want to fight. You're actually the person you want to be when you come to church. So when you come here, you ought to get instructions so that you can go out of church and be that same person that you was in church. But the problem is that when we get out of church, we run into folks that ain't churched. And then we start either getting along with them and start doing what they do and feel comfortable. And as soon as we try to tell them something about church, now how you gonna tell me? Don't you go to the boat? We went together. Come on and say hallelujah. We went to the liquor store together. You drove. Help me, Holy Ghost. Yeah, we did that together. You remember we danced together. We can't tell them anything if we don't have a good reputation. The Bible says a good name is better than a precious ointment. Oh, hallelujah here. Oh, yeah. So let me move on before y'all get tired of me. He said, he gave her instructions. He said, go in and shut the door. First, she had to have favor in order to borrow. But then she had to have faith in order to pour into what she borrowed. Oh, let me say that again. In order for her, first of all, she had to have favor in order to borrow. Then she had to have faith to be able to keep on pouring into all that she borrowed. Come on and say amen. And so she went in privately, but God rewarded her publicly. You know where it began? It began right there at the house. If you can't invite God in your house, come on and say amen. You can't invite God nowhere. Quit trying to pretend like you all holy and sanctimonious when you come to church and you know you got the devil sleeping with you. Preach. Quit trying to act like you all of that when you know doing well. Come on and say amen. That you got the devil sleeping in the next room and it seemed like it's so hot that you've been to hell and back when you leave. Oh, come on and say amen. Look, he says now, he tells her, go in the house, shut the door. You know why he tells her that? Because it ain't nobody else's business. We got a problem in the church, and it's called gossip. We don't spread the gospel, we spread the gossip. We even pretend like we're praying for people. Oh, Lord, you heard about so-and-so, pray for them, child. We want to tell their business. You know what? God already know what's wrong with them. That's why, you know, at our church, I tell them, no, don't say what's wrong. Just let me know they need prayer. That's enough. And God already knows. It ain't no need in us spreading gossip. It ain't no need in us telling everybody what's wrong with them, because you got somebody that's going to get there and say, you know, that ain't really what happened. Come on and say amen here. Y'all getting bored with me. He tells her to go in and what? Shut the door. And sometimes we need to go and shut the door, because when we shut the door, it's just like us going in our own closet. We go in our own house. We begin to do what we're supposed to do. If you do what you're supposed to do at the house, it ain't hard for you to do it when you come to church. It ain't hard to do it when you go to work. Come on and say amen. And so he tells her, he said, go in, he said, and borrow some vessels from your neighbors. And he said, don't borrow a few, but get a whole bunch of them. And when you come in and you shut the door, not just to you, but I want you to bring your sons into this, because they need to be able to witness what God is going to do. A lot of times we go to church and we leave our children home. We go and pray in our room and we won't even invite our children in to pray. You know how we learned how to pray? Well, somebody older than us had to put us on our knees and say, this is what you should say. But we expect our children to know by osmosis. We think that they'll just get it just because they've been around. But if you hadn't talked to them, if you hadn't instructed them, if you hadn't been with them to tell them what they need to know and how they need to pray, and they need to end the prayer in Jesus' name, they will never do it. Jesus said, anything you ask in my name, my Father will give it. And some people think that God is just some big spiritual Santa Claus. I'm going to ask and God going to give it. But the Bible says that he'll give you the desires of your heart. In other words, he take old desires away and give you new desires. I used to have a desire to lie, but now I got a desire to tell the truth. Oh, come on and say amen. I used to have a drinking desire, but now all I want to do is be filled with the Holy Ghost. Do I have any witnesses in this place today? I used to like to hear gossip, but now all I want to hear is the gospel preached to me. Come on and say hallelujah. Oh, yeah. And so here it is. They're in the house. And they start pouring. Imagine all you got is a little bit of oil, but you got all these vessels. It takes faith to keep pouring. You know what we would have did, us African Americans? We would have looked at the oil we had, and we looked at the vessels, and we would say, we're going to take them back, and we ain't going to need them. We would have underestimated. We would have missed out on our blessing, because we'd have said, this only going to fill three. Because I know I poured before. But when you trust God, oh, I wish I had somebody. When you begin to trust God, you'll find out that you don't have to have a whole lot. That God will make it stretch. It reminds me of my parents. It reminds me of my mother. She had 10 children, but she could take one yard chicken. Y'all don't hear me here. And we all get plenty. She cut it all kind of ways. You can't get it cut like that at Popeye's. You can't get it cut like that at Southern Class. She cut it all kind of ways. We used to have the back of the chicken. And she make that go a long way. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. And so what I'm trying to tell you is that when you trust God, I don't care what you got. I don't care how it looks. But God can turn it around. God can make it last. God can make it happen the way it should happen when you trust God. The problem is we don't want to trust him because of what we see. We see that there's pain. We see that there's a problem. We see that there's a predicament. We see that we don't have enough. We see that this can't do what I think it ought to do. Oh, come on and say amen. Even with our money, we say, you know, it ain't no way I can afford that. It ain't no way I can do this. But you know, if you're just looking at what you got, if you're looking at your abilities, it can't be done. But when you look at God, the Bible says he can do exceedingly, abundantly, and above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now we got to let the power begin to work in us. We got to begin to let the Holy Ghost work in us. When the Holy Ghost start to work, we started rebuking. We start saying, no, we can't do that. But the Holy Ghost is saying, yes, you can. We start saying, no, ain't no way that can happen. The Holy Ghost say, through me, it can happen. Oh, come on and say amen. The Bible said that all things are possible to God. We need to know that even if, he said, a camel can go through the eye of a needle. He said, to man is impossible, but to God, all things are possible. You can't tell me what God can't do. God can do anything but, let me tell you what he can't do. God can do anything but fail, lie, and die. Do I have Anybody in here that agree with me on tonight, we need to realize that God can do anything but fail, lie, and die. God won't fail you. God, you know, the old people just say that I don't doubt him because I know too much about him. I know that if he brought me back then, he'll bring me right now. I know that if he took me through that, he can bring me through this. Just like David said that I took the lamb out of the mouth of a lion and a bear. So who is this Philistine? Who is this Philistine that's standing in front of me? Come on and say amen. We got to realize that it doesn't matter what we face, that God is bigger than what's facing us. I don't care what mountain is in your way. We got a God that is a mountain moving God. And guess what? If he don't take the mountain out of the way, he'll put you on top the mountain so you can see where you go. I wish I had somebody here that realized that God is able to do more than what we expect him to do. God is able to bring us out of whatever situation that we get into. I don't care how sick you get. God is a healer. I wish I had somebody. You would never know. Listen, God is trying to instruct us. God is trying to teach us a lesson. You would never know that God was a healer until you got sick. I heard mama say it, but I didn't know till one of those Friday evenings I got sick and I called on the Lord and he heard me and he healed me. I never would have known that God would be a friend until I had some folks turn their back on me and I find out that he'll be a friend to the friendless. I did not know that God would be a mother to the motherless until in 1996 my mother passed away, and ever since then God has been my mother. Do I have anybody in the house tonight that said God has been my all in all? Oh yes, hallelujah, hallelujah. But she realized that God would be her all in all. She realized that whatever God has for me is for me. I don't have to compete with nobody else. I don't have to compete and try to beat you out. I ain't got to pour before you pour because God got my door shut. You can't see. You know, sometimes we compete with other folks. We're looking at what they got, and we're trying to see what we got. And we look back at what they got, and we try to compete with one another. But I call that comparisonitis. The Bible says for us not to compare ourselves to ourselves. I need to stop looking at other people and looking at what they got, looking at how they preach, looking at what they got, the bling they got, and realize that God's my bling. If I don't have anything else, I got the glory of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But they went in and they shut the door. And the Bible says that as she shut the door and she began to pour, and she went in from him and he shut the door and brought her sons. And when all the vessels, as she poured all the oil out, it came to pass that all the vessels was full. And she went and she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said, there ain't no more vessels. Oh, come on and say amen. And she said, oh, we filled them all up. And then she came and told the man of God. And the man of God gave her further instructions. If we don't see anything here, there ought to be something that we see, that there is a connection between the man of God and the people. Come on and say amen. Because the word of God that the man of God give is going to be the miracle that you need. If you would just receive the word with gladness, then God can bless your life. And so he told her, go and sell all of that you got and pay all that you owe. And then when you pay, you're going to have some left over. And you know, it ain't nothing like some lanyap. That's what we call it in Louisiana. It's called a little bit extra. It ain't nothing like a little bit extra. He said, go and sell and pay the man and your children will be free. Come on and say amen. And all I can think about when I saw this is that this woman was the wife of one of the sons of the prophets, and they had two children, and one of them could have been a prophet. Come on. And then I remember what David said, I've been young and now I'm old, and never have I seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. Do I have anybody here that realizes? Let me give you my third point. We got to understand that she had infirmities, and understand that God gave her instructions through the man of God. But then we understand that God gave her increase. And the Bible said that she poured Lord. The people purchased and God prospered her. Do you want to be like that woman? I'm going to pour and the people going to get it and then God is going to prosper me. Do I have anybody that say, I don't care what it looks like, I'm going to keep on pouring. Better yet, prophesy and tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, oh neighbor, I'm going to keep on pouring. I don't care what it look like. It doesn't look like it's going to work out, but God say, keep on pouring. It doesn't look like it's going to be enough, but God say, keep on pouring. When it look like your money gets funny and your change gets strange, ain't no time to cut back on your tithes. You need to keep on pouring, because he said, if you bring the tithes to my house, that there'll be meat in my house. I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive. And so since I said that, I'm looking around and I see a couple of doors. Oh, come on and say amen. But I see more doors. I mean, see more windows than I see doors. And so whenever they shut a door, God opens up a window. Do I have anybody? He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Stop crying at the door. Stop worrying about the door. Matter of fact, shut the door and let God raise the window so he can pour out a blessing. Come on and say yes. Say yeah. We got to be able to believe God for whatever. Or come on and say hallelujah. We got to learn how to trust God. We got to understand that the church is this woman, and the oil is the Holy Ghost, and God provides whatever we need to be able to pay off our debts. I wish I had somebody. I owed a debt years ago, but Jesus, he came back. Oh, come on and say yeah. He came down through 39 prophets, 42 generations, saw that I owed a debt. He said that I'll pay it. He hung his head in the locks of his shoulders, paid my debt, said it is finished. Do I have a witness? And he died. I say he died. Didn't he die? And but early, say early, Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Do I have anybody? Say yeah. Come on and say yeah. Won't he pay your debt? But let me tell you something else. He had you, the devil had you on hold, but God paid the ransom. We are bought with the price by the precious blood of the Lamb. Say yes. Won't he free you? Won't he let you go? Won't he bless your life? Won't he? Say yes. Say yeah. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Say yeah. Let me tell you one little story. I heard it just the other day, and I've been anxious to tell somebody about what I heard. There was a little girl. Oh, come on and say amen. There was a little girl who lived with her grandmother. Grandmother got sick, couldn't pay her bills. She didn't have no grocery, didn't have no lights. And the little girl said, I heard grandmother talk about trusting God. I believe I write him a letter, and God is going to bless us if I write him this letter. And she said, Lord, we need you. Grandmother told me that if I need you, that I just need to let you know, and you'll come to our rescue. And she wrote the letter, took the letter out to the mailbox. The mailman got the letter, saw that the letter was addressed to Jesus. He opened up the letter, saw what the girl had wrote. He went to the grocery store, showed the man the letter. The grocer put groceries in. He went down to the light bill place, showed the man the letter, and the light bill man, he turned the lights back on. The little girl came home after she got off the school bus, and she heard and she smelled food, and then she looked and she saw lights, and the grandmother got up. She said, grandmother, she said, you know what happened? And grandmother said, yes, I do. God blessed us, dear didn't he? She said, I wrote God a letter. She said, yeah, and he answered. But I want you to know what else that grandmother said. She said, baby, what God done for us is so awesome. And she looked at her baby and she said, I know he's all right. Anybody know he's all right? I said, do you know he's all right? Don't fool me now. I know he's all right. I say, ain't he all right? If you would help me close this sermon, I wish you would look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I may not know three things. I may not even know two things, but one thing I know. Say, I know he's all right. Say, yeah. Say, yeah. I know he's all right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know he's all right? I dare you to clap your hands, round your head back, and say, God, I know you all right.